The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Brinton. Belgium's tied this game up. What do you think, Rob? They're standing strong, aren't they? Belgium,
I was surprised they scored. And that a couple minutes left here in the first half, but good for them.
Spain hadn't lost in, 34 straight matches? They've had some draws and stuff, but what they in the international competitions? I mean, they've been on, quite the rolls in international play.
This is the first goal they've given up this tournament.
Yeah, that's right. The first one they've given up. So that was a shock when you're playing a team that's not giving up a goal yet. And you think, are they going to give up more than just one goal in that situation? So your newest podcast this week, you and Scott Parks do for the World Cup, which angle did you hit this week? Because I know you hit them all.
We talked to Eric Graves of KMBZ9 News about how Kansas City has really risen to the occasion and done a good job with the World Cup as far as transportation, security, you know, handling a fan fest, logistics. Like, it feels like it has been a win for the city.
You know, I'll say that as well. And, you know, there was a lot of worries, a lot of talk about it through the years and last couple of years, how Kansas City's going to handle it. But haven't they handled it well? Because I think the first litmus test that we saw was the All-Star game back in 2012. You know, people doubted if Kansas City could, you know, host the All-Star game, be in the vicinity, is so far away between the two, staying downtown and going out to the stadiums, but went off without a hitch. No one really complained about it being in Kansas City. So it was really a first test. Handled the NFL draft well. And then opening night for the World Cup, the first game, you saw some traffic, snares, some flare-ups. What did they actually do, Rob, to alleviate the traffic? Because I know they let the parking lots open about 4 hours before, but the gates to the actual stadium would be about 3 hours. Did they change that at all? Because I know we haven't seen the issues.
So I haven't been able to delve too deep into the actual logistics of what they did, but what I know is the people you know, Kathy Nelson, Pam Kramer, Mayor Q, if there's a local dignitary you know who is importing in this World Cup off, they, as part of KC 2026, sat down and went to FIFA and said, here is what's going wrong. We handle events at Arrowhead all the time. We handle transportation to Arrowhead all the time. We get people in and out of the game all the time. No problem. Here are the things you are doing that is wrong, and here are some fixes that can improve it. And ever since they went to FIFA and said, make these improvements, the improvements have been made. I think they've adjusted the bus system. They have more running. They're running faster. They're running earlier and earlier. I do think the credit where credit is due. Transportation was an abject disaster for Argentina and Algeria. And since then, you have heard no complaints, no problems at all.
And I know that the next game, game two, was on a Saturday and it went smoother. But of course it is because you're not.
I believe all the games, even the weekday games, have gone. I think it's been mostly Saturday since then, right? Unless I'm forgetting one. Netherlands was on a Thursday. But
it was earlier too, wasn't it? Five or six.
It was 6 o'clock on a Thursday. But outside of Argentina and the Netherlands, all their matches have been on Saturdays or weekends where traffic is just different.
It's much different at that point. But to be honest with you, they found out what the situation is. It reminds me of Morton Amphitheater. They had the same deal, their first concert they had there at the new amphitheater in Kansas City. Then they changed their pattern. They apologized to everybody, say we didn't have it right. It was our first concert, and they went ahead and fixed the traffic flow getting into and out of the stadium. But I'll be honest with you, Rob, did you expect this to go off like this? I know there's some businesses that didn't get all the business they were counting on, but, you know, I'll remind them too, it's a lot of people from the outskirts. Like, here's the thing with people traveling to Kansas City. A lot of them don't rent cars. Well, they obviously don't. They use Uber and they use mass transit. Mass transit's a big thing, and it's why a lot of things that are happening happen downtown, because you get downtown to location, it's easier logistically to go to all the different places. But if you're on the outskirts, you better give people a real reason to get out there. And so
on the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
We haven't seen that quite as much. I don't know about you. I mean, obviously the show's in the suburbs. We're not downtown doing it, so you don't see the ins and outs, the daily deal. You've been down there messing around from time to time. Have you noticed anything? You noticed the large international fan contingent? I mean, I can understand the fans of the teams playing being here, but I can't imagine a lot of fans just of the World Cup being in Kansas City, or am I wrong? Did they travel from Philadelphia and wherever just to see games?
So Carrington was talking about this because he does live downtown, and the way he described it was downtown has the buzz of a Big 12 tournament. You see soccer jerseys everywhere, whether that be Argentina, the Netherlands, one of the teams actually playing, or just people in soccer jerseys. You feel there's a hype and a buzz around Power and Light. The streetcar stops are more full of people downtown coming to and from FanFest. My brother lives in the plaza. I've gone down and visited him. The plaza, there's an extra oomph. There's an extra crowd. There's an extra juice going on from the plaza. So, like, I think you can feel it in those parts of towns. Where you live, where I live, where we work, we don't feel it the same way. But there's definitely something happening downtown. Now, whether it's all international travelers, I don't know. I've been down there a couple of times. I didn't poll everyone, but there are more soccer jerseys and more soccer energy. But that doesn't mean that it's, you know, this person is from Argentina and this person is from Colombia. It could just be a person in a Colombia jersey for the weekend.
And did Kansas City deliver? Hey, it gave you something to think about. It gave you something to talk about, to be honest with you. Because of the Royals season being what it is now, if the Royals were red hot right now in the last couple of weeks, last month, playing good baseball, that certainly takes your attention. And we all kind of laughed about that the Royals didn't really carry you to the NFL draft. And then all of a sudden you get this summer. We're sitting here, the World Cup's in its quarterfinals, still a game at Arrowhead Stadium tomorrow night. Today, we are 2 weeks from quarterbacks and rookies showing up to St. Joe. 2 weeks. Now, I get it. You can't go to practice until 29th for season ticket holders or the 30th. For open practices to the public, but the team will be there. Like, training camp does begin in 2 weeks from today. In 2 weeks from today, I'm sure Rob will have audio of Andy Reid standing outside the porch steps talking about Travis and Taylor's wedding. Because I guarantee you that question will be asked by people, and you'll hear his reaction to the wedding up there. You'll hear his thoughts about going away for training camp. Just the same questions you get in each and every year, but he will be on those porches. And the guys will be carrying in the video game systems and everything else. I, Rob, have actually heard quite a bit of people talking about people that didn't even really care about soccer. I've heard them talking about, does this parlay itself over to the MLS? I have my doubts on that. But I will say, I think people have thoroughly enjoyed it. The text line and everything, so he says, I'm not going to enjoy it, that I probably don't care that it's on. That's far from the truth. I've actually, surprisingly, really liked watching the World Cup games, Rob. I don't know if that surprises you or not, but I've actually enjoyed watching it.
I'm happy you've enjoyed it. I definitely didn't think you would be someone that enjoyed it. Because
I did.
That's just not your sport, but I think part of the reason you've enjoyed it is, as we watch this tournament, the stars are stars. Like, you're not, I mean, let's put Pulisic to the side. The biggest names in the sport have absolutely delivered. So people like you, or even Carrington, who before the tournament, I was like, hey, keep an eye on these like five players. Those five players are all balling out. It makes it very easy to watch. It wasn't like you had to keep your eye on some dark horse. No, Harry Kane's scoring goals. Erling Haaland is scoring goals. It's not the under-the-radar types.
And that's the thing. I think as sports fans in America, you like that. You know, if internationally they're watching the game with the Bengals and the Chiefs, they want to see Mahomes and Burrow, right? They want to see them go out, you know, throw the ball around, score touchdowns. They want to see them deliver. And with soccer, what do you do when Argentina comes on? You know Messi played for Argentina. So I want to see Messi play. And he has delivered every single game and scored in every single game. And it has not disappointed you. Maybe you want to watch France playing and you want to see what Mbappe's doing. And he keeps scoring goals. And that's fun. Or Erling Haaland, the big Viking from Norway. Like, you tune in, this guy's just doing unreal things out on the pitch. And it's fun to watch. See, there I go again, using pitch instead of field.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.